Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Wednesday, the day we try to understand what we read in the Bible yesterday. Yesterday, we read the story of God giving the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel through Moses. He had just led them to freedom from slavery through their miraculous passage through the Red Sea, and now he was making a new nation of them. A new nation who were on their way to their own promised land, and to be a nation, they needed to have some rule of law. And so God gave them the Ten Commandments, but he didn't stop there. He gave them, right after that, a whole slate of other laws as well. He gave them laws about altars for worshiping him. He gave them laws about slaves, about restitution and justice. He gave them laws about festivals and feasts to celebrate as holidays throughout the year. And he gave them laws about establishing a temple for worshiping him through sacrifices. Now, as you read through the Bible, you'll find all kinds of laws, these ones and others. And as complicated and numerous as they may seem to be, they do all relate back in some way to the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments all relate back in some way to what God always said was the most important commandment: to love God and love neighbor, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, you can see it right in the Ten Commandments. The first four all deal with how to love God, how to honor and respect and show your love for God. The last six commandments all have to do with how you relate to other people, how you love your neighbor as yourself, how you love family, how you love those who have more than you. Take a look at the commandments and see if you can find that division, how the first four relate to God, the last six relate to other humans. A number of the laws for loving God stand out, however. They relate to the establishment of a temple for worship of God. There are all kinds of different provisions for how people were to be ritually pure, ready to make a sacrifice, what kinds of sacrifices they were going to make. Far more than we can study here in our short amount of time, but I'd encourage you to read from Exodus 20 onwards to just get a sense of what those regulations looked like. At first, while they were a nomadic people traveling towards the promised land, the temple was meant to be a tent, a movable, portable tent that would allow them to make sacrifices with all the associated equipment. And the hope was, and the dream was, that as they traveled toward the promised land, they would eventually settle and establish a permanent temple. The temple was meant to support God's law in a very tangible way. The law was something that you could actually follow in many ways quite invisibly. It described things you should not do and a few things you should do, but it wasn't the most visible thing. However, making temple sacrifices, that was visible and tangible. So these two things complemented each other, the law and the temple. The law was a way to live in God's way, to show in their hearts that they were thankful for the salvation that God had given them through the Red Sea. And the sacrifices, the sacrificial system, was a way to show that quite tangibly. It was a way for them to show their thankfulness for what God had given them, their salvation first of all, but also the livestock, the land, the grain. Those were the kinds of things they were being told in the sacrificial system to give back to God, to show their thankfulness for what God had given them. But more so, it showed the seriousness of sin, of the separation between God and humanity that had existed ever since Adam and Eve first rebelled against God, pushed him out of their lives, and said that they thought they could be in charge of their own lives better than following and living in God's way. When we human beings, starting with Adam and Eve and continuing on through to today, push God out of our lives, we push the source of life out of our lives. Another way to say that is that we chose death over life. In saving them from slavery, leading them through the Red Sea, God gave the Israelites an incredible gift of life when they were going to die, when death was imminent. He gave them the promise of new life. And it's an analogy for what can happen in our lives, that we all deserve death. We pushed the source of life, God, out of our lives. We all deserve death. And yet, like the Israelites, God has given us a reprieve. He's given us another chance at life. That's visible and tangible in the sacrificial system, where instead of the Israelite dying, they could bring a gift to God as a replacement, as a substitute, and that that thing could die for them in their place. But of course, this was an ongoing thing. It happened year after year, day after day, day after day, and a more permanent solution certainly was desirable. So here's your question for today. How do you think this sacrificial system and system of laws was pointing people towards Jesus? How is it preparing them for his arrival? And what difference would he make? See if you can think a little bit about that, and then we'll explore it tomorrow. Have a great discussion. I'll see you then.